Well, this evening we're going to continue in our study in the book of Genesis and looking particularly together at these verses that we read together from chapter 4 in this series on beginnings. As we've looked at the opening chapters of the book of Genesis, we've seen that the great triune God who created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, he spoke and these things came into being. And the earth was filled with all manner of trees and vegetation. It was filled with every kind of living creature, birds and everything that filled the seas. And the pinnacle of that creation were our first parents, Adam and Eve. They were born in perfection. They enjoyed the fellowship of God. And God declared all these things. He said that they were very good. That was, of course, until the time when Eve, being tempted by the devil who masqueraded as a serpent, and then Adam, following his wife, disobeyed God. They cast aside the promises that God had made. They doubted his word, and both rebelled, and they ate of that forbidden fruit. And we read that they fell into sin. And in so doing, they brought with them the whole condemnation of God on all humanity. We have seen that because of the rebellion and sin of both Adam and Eve, they were expelled from the Garden of Eden. And God has brought a curse on the serpent as it performed the work of Satan. Yet within the condemnation of the devil and his work was the first promise of victorious salvation that God would bring through the offspring of the woman. And we saw that that seed of the woman that is referred to in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that for the woman there would be pain in childbirth. There would be the seeds of conflict between husband and wife. For Adam, the ground was cursed. Work would now be hard. There would be weeds and thistles which would create all sorts of problems in the harvesting of food. And God pronounced that death would come to Adam and Eve and all their descendants. And that, of course, includes us even today. And so the Garden of Eden is shut to Adam and Eve. They were sent out. And we read at the end of chapter 3 that cherubim are placed at the entrance so they cannot get back in. They cannot eat of the tree of life. But they were to go out into the world. And life would go on even though the world was fallen. Even though now sin had entered the world and would be spreading everywhere, life would continue. So let's take a few moments then this evening to look firstly at this first family. As we move into chapter 4, we come to the birth of the first children, Cain and Abel. We read about the passing of time as they grew up. We read of Cain's attempt to come before God with an offering. And we end the passage with God, with Cain going away from God. And we find there are references to these things in the New Testament. For example, in Jude 11, we read, "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Cain's way is seen as the way of unbelief and apostasy. But we are exalted, as we read in Hebrews 11:4, that we are to follow the example of Abel. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. So let's have a look at this background and how these verses affect those things for us today. So what about the background and the birth of these two boys, Cain and Abel? Cain and Abel were born into a God-fearing home. Their parents, Adam and Eve, we know were sinners, but they were not pagans. They would have brought up Cain and Abel with a knowledge and understanding of God. We're only given limited information in these opening chapters, but it's clear from the way they acted and what we find later on in Scripture that Adam and Eve would have been aware of what it was to worship God. They would know something of the way of salvation. They were encouraged to pray and to worship the Lord. The home would have been a godly home. And that reminds us, of course, that the scriptures urge parents to bring up their children in the training and instruction of the Lord. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he says, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And this would seem what happened with Cain and Abel. So what can we learn about this first family? Well, we read in the opening verse of chapter 4, now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Adam knew his wife, and Cain was conceived by the sexual union of a couple who were in a right relationship. Sex was not just a blind instinct, but a conscious, intimate act which rightly belonged to a man and woman within the marriage bond. And what is alluded to here will be taken up later in Scripture as God revealed his will for men and women. And the first child that was born to Adam and Eve was Cain. And the name Cain means to gain or acquire. Eve says, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And we can see here that Eve, in giving birth for the first time, would have felt the effects of God's judgment on her labor pains. But God brings her through the suffering, and the name they gave to their firstborn, Cain, expressed faith in the Lord. And then a second son was born, and his name was Abel. And that name Abel means fleeting or vapor. Interesting that they should have called that name before they knew even what was going to happen. But it was a name that would anticipate Abel's short-lived existence. It's a theme, of course, that runs throughout Scripture, doesn't it? Man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow, says the psalmist. Or James says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. It's a reminder that life is brief. And within all this is a reminder that both for the believer and the unbeliever, life in this world is subject to the effects of the fall, the effects of sin. In Romans 8, we read this, for creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So Abel and Cain are born into this family, and we see that there is growth and development of these two boys. They would surely have been taught about the commands of God and that worship was something that required sacrifice and offering. Cain developed a liking for the land and he became a farmer, a worker of the soil. Excuse me. On the other hand, Abel was more interested in breeding livestock and he became a shepherd. Now, both of these occupations are honourable, and Scripture makes no judgment that one profession was better than the other. We would see that Abel's shepherding was not to supply food at this stage, as humans did not become meat eaters until after the great flood. So Abel's work would have been to supply milk and wool and skins. Cain's work would have been to supply food, vegetables and fruit for the family to eat. And we start to see here the fulfillment of the prophecy that comes in Genesis chapter 3. Both Cain and Abel were physically descended from Eve, but as we shall see, they are of different spiritual lines. In Genesis 3:15, God said this concerning the result of the rebellion of Adam and Eve under the influence of Satan. And we read in 3:15 of Genesis, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God, you see, had prophesied a continuing conflict between the descendants of Eve and the descendants of the serpent, a struggle that would make its climax at the cross. Adam and Eve were about to witness the reality of the conflict in the tragic story of their first two sons. And whilst the story is historical, it also symbolizes the conflict of good and evil, right and wrong, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. In 1 John chapter 3, we read, Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. And again, as we've already mentioned, Jude 11, woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. Cain is stated to be of the wicked one, and he is the first in a long line of the seed of the serpent. Abel, on the other hand, is to be seen as the one who is a truly righteous man. As again, as I mentioned a few moments ago in Hebrews 11, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. This first family. And we see, secondly, this first family at worship. One of the things that Adam had taught his sons concerned the worship of God. Now, we can draw this out because we see that they come to bring sacrifices. And they wouldn't have done that without knowing that that was what God required. And we need to see that worship has its origins at the beginning of creation. Worship is not man-made that was developed as the world went on. Right from the start, human beings worshipped the one true creator God. They didn't start with some animistic ideas of worship that later developed. And it's clear that Cain and Abel knew more about offerings than the text suggests. We're only given a minimum of information here, but Moses, the author of Genesis, wishes us to read these early incidents of sacrifice in the light of later revelation. Cain and Abel brought their offerings to the Lord, gifts that were in keeping with their respective occupations. No doubt Cain and Abel had been taught by their parents the importance of honouring God in their lives and the need to bring a sacrificial offering. In verses 3 and 4 of that Genesis 4, we read this, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. In the process of time, these two boys had grown up, and they were in a time when they were now bringing their own independent worship to God. We could imagine that prior to this occasion, the family would worship together, Adam taking the lead. But now Cain and Abel were men who were grown up of their own independence, and they would bring their own worship and offering to God. And whether the things that we read of in chapter 4 happened at that time, or whether there had been a number of times when the offerings had been made and had been acceptable to God, we're not told. But we do know this, that now the time that has come, the offering is made. Maybe it was the end of a year's work. Maybe it was the time to bring in the harvest. And Cain and Abel both brought their offerings to the Lord. Cain offered a sacrifice from his fruit and vegetable harvest. It was the most obvious thing to do. That's what he worked in. And the offering of Abel was of the firstborn of the flock and of their fat. And mention of the fat suggests that he killed some of the flock in order to make his offering. Verses 4 and 5. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So we need to ask a few questions here. Why was Abel's offering accepted and Cain's rejected? God was pleased with the offering that Abel brought, but he rejected what Cain offered. Why? We're not told how the brothers were made aware of God's reaction to their offerings. The important thing is this, that God accepted Abel and his offering, but he did not recognize Cain and his offering. And note that it's not just that God rejected the offering of Cain, it was that Cain himself was rejected together with his offering. And we read that the result of this was that Cain became very angry, and it showed on his face. Now, there's been much debates about these things, as there always are, concerning the things of beginnings. And some have suggested that the acceptance of Abel and the rejection of Cain was unfair. And that's been the subject of much discussion. But it's a crucial point, because it reminds us that there is a right and wrong way to worship God. Being brought up in a Christian home does not guarantee that our worship is automatically acceptable to God. It's possible for the worship to be correct, and yet the person worshiping not to be in the right position before God. So what were the reasons for the rejection of both Cain and his offering? Let's ask some questions here. Was it because Cain's offering was from the ground? He offered the vegetables and fruit. Well, we've already seen that God cursed the ground as a result of the fall. Did this mean that the offerings of crops or fruit or vegetables were not acceptable to God? But yet we read later on in Scripture, for example, in Exodus 22:29, "You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices." Later in Leviticus, we read of grain offerings to the Lord. So because Cain offered produce from the ground, this could not have been the reason for its rejection. Another question then. Was it because Cain did not offer an animal sacrifice? Was it because there was no shedding of blood in Cain's offering? Was this the reason for the rejection? This would certainly be a key part of the problem. We've already seen that God clothed Adam and Eve in animal skins. You remember, after they had sinned, they found themselves naked. And they felt their nakedness and shame. And they made fig leaves to cover themselves. And God said that he would give them a proper covering. And that proper covering was the covering of animal skins, which presupposed that there had to have been the death of an animal to bring them covering. And so here we see that was behind the background of what's happening here. No doubt Adam and Eve had instructed their children concerning sacrifices. And it could well have been that for some time Cain had purchased a sheep from Abel to bring his own sacrifice. Did there come a time when Cain began to resent this situation and finally rebelled against it? Why should he always have to buy one of his younger brother's sheep each time? Was not his own produce just as valuable? After all, the first family were dependent on Cain for food. Well, thirdly here, was it because Cain's offering was not the best of the crop? We read, Cain brought an offering of some of the fruit of the ground, it meant. And here we're perhaps starting to get at some of the heart of the problem. Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of the fat. Only the very best parts were good enough for God. And they came from the firstborn, the choicest parts, from the choicest animals. Cain, on the other hand, does not bring the first fruits. He merely just brings a part of the fruit of the ground. And it's not insignificant that we read here that Abel, the secondborn, should have offered firstlings from his flock, and he should have been the one who was accepted. The law, as we read later on in Leviticus and following, indicated that the firstborn son belonged to God, and it laid down rules for redeeming the firstborn by offering the firstlings of the sacrificial animals. Was God teaching Cain and Abel that there is forgiveness and acceptance only through the shedding of blood? Now, faith is never a leap in the dark. It's always exercised in the context of divine revelation. It is a response to God's word. Abel's offering was not a good idea of his own. Why would Abel deliberately kill one of God's creatures as a sacrifice to God if he was not taught that that was which was necessary? And death may be familiar to us as it is. It's all around us. But this was not at the point in the life of that first family. They had not seen death at first hand. They ate vegetables and fruit. Abel learned from his parents and he believed what God had revealed to them. To worship God, sinners must come through the way that God has ordained. It was revealed to Moses that without the blood of the sacrifice, there was no atonement. But was there another reason because Cain's offering was rejected? Was it because Cain's heart was the problem? And I would suggest this is the real issue. It's Cain's attitude and heart that are condemned by God. Cain is rebellious, and he refuses to acknowledge God as one deserving the best of the harvest, and that a blood sacrifice is essential. Up to this point in Cain's life, he may have appeared outwardly pious and obedient, but now his true character is being revealed. We see how he reacts. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And you see, these things are a challenge to our own worship. Our inner spiritual condition can show itself in the way that we serve God. Is it a case of anything goes? Or do we offer to God what costs us little? Do you remember how David, but then we have it recorded in 2 Samuel 24, the king said to Arunah, "No, but I will surely buy the field from you for a price, for I will offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing." So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And to worship God, we as sinners must come the way God has ordained. There is no other way we come to worship God. We may not just come before God with our own ideas of what God should accept from us. The scriptures make it clear that we are called to worship him in spirit and in truth. And in so doing, this will affect the way we live, the way and what we sing in worship, the place of preaching, and what is preached on in our services. And it's a reminder, of course, to those who are parents or grandparents, it's essential that these things are taught and practiced in the home. It's what you sing with your children. It's what you teach them concerning God. And the question is always, is it in accordance with the word of God? And do they see you living out that which you teach each and every day? The worship we bring must be in accordance with that which God ordains. Just having ideas of what we are to do is not sufficient. So we've seen that first family, and we've seen how that first family has brought up, and we see something of what has happened with these offerings that was made. And so thirdly here, and our final point this evening, was that Cain was angry with God. Cain was angry with God. If there was any doubt to Cain's attitude towards God, this proves it. Cain was burning with anger towards God and also to his brother. And he couldn't hide it. It showed in his face. As we read, his countenance fell. We can see his face most probably getting red with anger because that Abel's offering was accepted, but Cain's wasn't. But we have some lovely verses here in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 4 because God points to a way of forgiveness. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." You see, God's reply to Cain's anger reveals the love of God. God was out to win the rebel. He pointed to the way of forgiveness. He pointed to salvation, and he warned Cain of the danger he was in. There was a choice facing Cain that day. Would he follow the ways of God or the ways of sin? And it's something that we face. And if we're not a Christian this evening, it is something that we have to face up to. Will we follow the ways of God, or will we follow the ways of sin? God, in his love and his grace, holds out that invitation of salvation. Cain, however, refused to humble himself, and he accepts to accept the way that God had appointed. Instead, he became more and more a slave to his own passions and lusts. There was already anger in his heart, and God pointed this out, but he also directed him to the way of escape. God was giving opportunity for repentance, and we see this throughout Scripture. God challenges our disobedience and our rebellion, and he warns us of the consequences, but he always offers a way of escape. The words of the Lord Jesus, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." And we see Abel as the first martyr. Cain refuses to humble himself before God. He's become a slave to his own lusts and his own sin. And Cain hardens his heart towards God. What a power sin has over our lives if we do not have it dealt with by God. Cain would not allow the Lord to talk him out of his sinful actions, and Cain's anger was vented on his brother Abel. Cain's refusal to listen to God led him to murder his brother. And Abel was the first human to die. God had said that death would come. But you see, the death of Abel was not the death that resulted of God's general judgment of sin, what we would call natural causes, what the vast majority of us have to face in our death. This first death was actually the result of one human being killing another. And it must have horrified Adam and Eve. What had they produced? It was a callous, ruthless, violent act. We read it happened in an open field, out of range of help, away from the camp. It was an act of premeditated murder. No one would have heard Abel's cry for help. And that verse from 1 John 3 again, Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. The seed of the serpent strikes the seed of the woman in what can be seen as an attempt to prevent the fulfillment of the prophecy of Genesis 3:15. That first death, the first murder, was the first martyrdom. And God pronounces judgment on Cain. And that is something we will deal with on another occasion. But there is a better way. There is a better way. The way of Cain is the way of natural religion, as we're reminded in Jude. But these speak evil of what they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. You see, it's a religion of works. It gives no comfort. It only brings misery. The way of Cain is in the way of ceremony and ritual. He fulfilled the ritual of bringing the offering. He fulfilled the ceremony, but it did not bring the blood sacrifice that was required by God. And the first human blood to be shed upon the earth was shed by a religious legalist, and the blood he shed was the blood of one who believed in the sovereign grace of God. And the battle still rages. And it's still the same today. The way of Cain persecutes the way of faith. Cain's way is the way of God's curse. Verses 10 to 12 of Genesis 4. And God said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth." As one commentator writing on this reflects, that there is no rest for the wicked, neither in this world nor the world to come. And we need to see that that word wicked means those who reject Christ, those who will not believe. And there is a better way. And this is the way of grace. It is the way of blood redemption. It is the way of faith. And this is the way that is opposed and persecuted by the world. And we see such things in our society and world today. It is the way of life. It is the way of acceptance with God. Hebrews 12, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Abel brought a blood sacrifice of a calf or of a firstling, but we have the blood of Christ, which has dealt with our sin. The blood of Abel resulted in God placing a curse on Cain for killing his brother, a martyrdom that evoked revenge. What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. But the blood of Jesus is the blood of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the better way. It is the way of God's free and sovereign grace. It is the way of everlasting salvation. It is the way that God calls us to. It is the way, as Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And that leaves us this evening with a question which we must all answer. Which way will you go? Will it be the way of Cain and the way of rejection and the way of rebellion and the way of turning your back upon God, the way of not believing his word? Or will you go the way of Abel the righteous? And you will come to God through the only way you can, that of the Lord Jesus Christ. May our God mean and bring this hope to each one of us. Which way will you go? Will it be the way of Cain, or will it be the way of Abel? May the Lord so work in our hearts that we might go the way of Christ, for his name's sake. Amen.